Now the knockout stages of the European Champions League are finally here. The 16 best teams are left in the competition, and this is when it starts to get serious. On Tuesday, it's Manchester City against Barcelona, and Germany's Bayer Leverkusen take on Paris Saint-Germain. On Wednesday, it's Arsenal against Bayern Munich and Milan against Atletico Madrid. Joining me for Sports World's big match preview was the European football writer Andy Brassel and our football reporter John Bennett.
Yes, I live in Manchester, Lee, and there is such a buzz around the city about the return of the Champions League. This is one of the biggest games in their history, the game against Barcelona on Tuesday. They've waited so long to get to this stage. It took them so long to get into the Champions League. Then they got there and were knocked out in the group stages for 2 years running. At last, they're in the last 16, and then they get the great draw of playing Barcelona. And the players like Vincent Kompany are saying that it is a great draw. They're not disappointed that they didn't get a so-called easier team. They wanted a big team like Barcelona. They're going to be able to try and prove now that they are one of the biggest sides in Europe.
Huge game. Andy Brassel, our European football expert, is also with me on Sports World. Manuel Pellegrini not really altering his principles against Chelsea despite that defeat in the Premier League a couple of weeks ago. Still very attacking. They're leading 1-0 at the moment. I mean, can he maintain those principles against Barcelona? And in some ways, is it a better matchup for him than against the sort of heavily drilled tactics that we saw employed by Jose Mourinho?
I think that's a really good point, Lee. And I think you look at Barcelona and where their vulnerabilities are at the moment, and you think particularly in defence, particularly in central defence, where Carles Puyol is missing, and Carles Puyol has been such a player for them over the last 10, 15 years, and really they're missing him. I'll be surprised if he didn't retire at the end of this season. And, you know, really, I think if you look at their team today, getting Negredo on the bench to try and get him as fresh as possible so he can attack that Barcelona central defence, I think is a key thing for that first game in Manchester.
So, are Barcelona still the imposing force we've seen in recent years under Pep Guardiola? Let's get the thoughts of a former Barcelona midfielder, Gaizka Mendieta.
We have to admit that they don't been at the level that he was with, maybe with Guardiola. But is that fair? I don't think it's fair to compare the team nowadays how it used to be, especially the players have played a lot more games. They're obviously older. There's new manager with different ideas. So, still for me there, it looks like this season has been quite irregular. They've not been consistent in the way they've been playing. It seems like that recently, after the Sevilla match, they're picking up a bit the intensity. Messi looks sharp as well, coming back after the injury. I think it's getting there in the right time, because obviously February, March, league ends in May. Everything is need to be to decided.
The style that Manchester City play, do you think that will suit Barcelona?
I think it makes it more difficult for Barcelona. If we look at the Man City, maybe not the last couple of games, but if you look at City, before that, with the pace, the quality up front, Barcelona at the back is struggling. Is a team that is not being consistent, been conceding a lot of goals recently. And the strength that City, Negredo, Aguero when he's back, Silva, Zeko, I mean, so many different options, Navas. So I think they're going to cause a lot of trouble. But Barca as well can take advantage of that, obviously, because of the strikers they've got. So I would say it's quite equally, but the way Man City plays is not the greatest for Barcelona either.
The bad news for Man City fans is that Neymar is back just in time for this game. How big an impact do you think he could have on the match?
Hopefully a lot, because that's one of the reasons he got signed for Barcelona, to sort of free the team of Messi when Messi kind of is stuck. And he did that in the early days when he came to Barcelona and play well. When Messi wasn't there, he took the responsibility. He's a player that is not afraid of taking any responsibility. He used to do that at Santos, got kicked, got do anything, and the guy always stay on his foot and play football. So it's not good news for City, it's good news for Barca, definitely, to have other options apart from Messi.
Other options for Barcelona, Gaizka Mendieta is talking about there, Andy. But let's make no bones about it. If City were to knock out Barcelona over two legs, this is one of the biggest sort of European results, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be, because they struggled so badly in previous seasons. And speaking to the players beforehand, and I've spoken to Yaya Touré and Vincent Kompany in the last couple of weeks, and they were saying, you know, that is a massive deal for the club, getting through the group stage at the third time of asking. It's given them so much confidence that they can go forward and deal with things, whether it's against Barcelona or anyone else.
So Manchester City against Barcelona on Tuesday. John Bennett, it's a repeat of last season in the knockout stages. Arsenal, Bayern Munich once again, and Thomas Müller, Bayern midfielder, saying that the draw against Arsenal is the toughest they could have got. But having said that, 45 games unbeaten in the Bundesliga, one defeat all season. It points, doesn't it, towards Pep Guardiola's side?
Yeah, I think they always have to play down their chances, don't they, the Bayern Munich players, because they're in such great form. A 4-0 win again today, as you mentioned, 45 matches unbeaten in the Bundesliga. They do look unbeatable. They'll have the extra rest as well, 24 hours extra rest, because they've played on Saturday, Arsenal play on Sunday. I think that could have... that could be a big factor, because Arsenal are in this period of games which is going to make or break their season. FA Cup games, key FA Cup games, key matches in the English Premier League. The last two games haven't gone well. That draw against Manchester United, that heavy defeat against Liverpool. Their players look really tired. Bayern Munich, on the other hand, have been able to rest five players earlier today. So whatever Thomas Müller is saying, Bayern Munich are the huge favourites. The one factor which maybe puts questions in your mind is that Arsenal beat Bayern Munich in the second leg when they met in the Champions League last season. So perhaps that could give Arsene Wenger some confidence.
Will that have any bearing at all, Andy? I mean, yes, Arsenal will take some comfort, I guess, from that. But we're hitting this familiar mark in the season, aren't we, for Arsene Wenger's team, where the edginess, the nervousness starts to creep in when, you know, the really big matches are coming along.
I think that's something that Arsene Wenger has played up, in fact, but it's not the main characteristic that concerns me about Arsenal at the moment. It's the lack of freshness. And I think you see that they've suffered a lot of injuries all season, but they could have covered a bit better in some key areas. Olivier Giroud is the obvious one, who's looked really tired since December. And he looked shattered again against Manchester United in the week. That was a really flat performance. On the same night, I was in Hamburg watching Bayern win 5-0 there in the DFB Pokal, the German Cup. And of course, they did that without Frank Ribery, who won't be fit for the first leg, but they could slot Mario Götze right in on the left-hand side instead of him. He had a fantastic match, set up a couple of goals, really good performance. And as John was saying, you know, they rested players again today. They gave Javi Martinez a little go at centre-back, which I think long-term is where Guardiola wants to play them. They've got so many options. Schweinsteiger got another half hour in the tank, having made his comeback from injury on Wednesday against Hamburg. And what really struck me, seeing them at first hand in that game, is that they're as relentless in the 90th minute as they were in the first. They've got so much energy, and that is exactly what Arsenal are lacking at the moment. That's where they need to match Bayern. I don't think we even need to be thinking about the technical levels of the two teams. That's something that Arsenal can bridge, but they just need to have a bit of zest and a bit of power in their legs if they're going to match them.
It's just the one thing for me, though, Andy. When everything points in one direction, there's something in me that says, well, I'm going to go the opposite way then. And it may be, just maybe, it might be Arsenal's time.
Well, you know, they've got quality. I don't think it's a mismatch by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, Arsenal, I'll be really interested to see how they react against Liverpool tomorrow, and indeed how hard they go at it. I think it's fair to say Arsene Wenger will probably play a bit of a half and half team. He'll leave a few key players out to freshen them. Giroud is the obvious one, perhaps Mertesacker as well. He sat out the FA Cup game against Tottenham, for example, earlier in the campaign. But those are a couple of key players who really need to be on their game when Bayern come to town.
Right then, let's look at the other two ties that are taking place this week. Oh, actually, before we do that, let's get a description from both of you. Just a couple of words. Clarence Seedorf, how would you describe the great Dutch midfielder, John?
He's like a professor, I think. He oozes respect. When he walks into a room, you just all turn to look at him.
Andy?
Well, I think he's the ultimate placebo for Milan. They've got a huge amount of problems, but because he is, you know, so likable, so engaging, and so respected, as John says, he's someone who's making it all better without really making the problems go away.
Okay, both very good. Maybe not like a grandfather. That is what Frank de Boer has described his former teammate as. They won the Champions League together back in 1995, played together for the national team, of course, and now Clarence Seedorf is the Milan boss. He'll go and explain just why he calls him the grandfather, by the way. Frank de Boer, though, coach of Ajax now, says that Seedorf has the right credentials to become a good manager and improve this Milan team.
Clarence is a little bit different to all other players. He was, you know, we called him when he was 16 and he came into the first team in the squad. We called him directly already a grandfather. So he was always curious, you know, want to know things. And when I was his age, you know, if somebody say yes, it's no. But he was also, but, you know, it's all my, he was always not black or white or more gray. And so he was always eager, you know, to learn also. And he knows exactly what he is doing. And he did it also when he went to Brazil, you know, to Botafogo. And I think he's ready. He has played so much on a high level. I think he's the player who won the most Champions Leagues in Holland. So for me, it's not a surprise that he directly take that step.
But it's a gamble, isn't it?
No, it's a gamble. Not for him. Because, yeah, he can only learn from it. But it's more a gamble for the club Milan. And he has to bring a very experienced assistant coach with him that he knows his way, you know, how the jungle of football is.
Frank de Boer, the Ajax coach. I'm not sure Clarence Seedorf likes the grandfather tag. We can sort of see where he was getting at, though. Basically, he just disagrees with everything that's always said. Well, now he's the man in charge, Andy Brassel. What is he going to do to beat this Atletico Madrid team? As we've been hearing from John, have gone top in Spain by 3 points after their victory this afternoon. A tough prospect for Milan.
It really is. And, you know, if there was not the Champions League history, both with Milan and Seedorf combined, you give them absolutely no chance at all. I know they won last night and the results have picked up a little bit under Seedorf, but it's going to be very, very difficult for them. I mean, I think Atletico, you look at the lineup they play today, they've got a couple of different options as well. I mean, it's really important for them to recover from a couple of dodgy results that they've had recently. I mean, I think that shows the only thing they're lacking, a little bit of experience in that they've struggled to lead from the front after going top of La Liga. But I think we're all talking about what a nice guy Seedorf is, and of course he's very good with the media. But I'm currently reading Dennis Bergkamp's book, which talks a lot about that Ajax team and those players coming through at that time with the De Boer twins and Edgar Davids, and is left in absolutely no doubt that Seedorf always speaks his mind, can be very bullish and very strong behind closed doors. So if Mario Balotelli's thinking about not pulling his weight for 1 minute, I don't think that will last.
The grandfather will have a word with him, no doubt. Monaco are leading Bastia by 2-0, looking to close the gap on Paris Saint-Germain to 5 points in France. Bayer Leverkusen, their opponents in the Champions League this week, currently goalless with Schalke in the Bundesliga. How do you see this one going, John?
Well, for me, it's about mentality. I don't think there's much expectation surrounding Bayer Leverkusen. I visited the club towards the end of last year, and they're really relaxed at the moment. You know, anything's a bonus for them for now on if they progress in the European Champions League. Paris Saint-Germain, on the other hand, they kind of had less expectation last season when they reached the quarterfinals. But now I think their fans, and more importantly, their owners, will expect them to go a long way in this competition. So will that mean that Laurent Blanc and the players will be under a lot of pressure? They'll be missing Edinson Cavani as well. He's out injured. So I'm not sure why, but I don't know what Andy thinks. I'm kind of thinking that Bayer Leverkusen might win this tie. On paper, you'd say Paris Saint-Germain, but there's just something which makes me believe that the German side will win through.
Quick one from you, Andy, on this.
PSG are still my favourites, but it's really interesting what John's saying there. And I think an additional factor to that, PSG has defended quite poorly in the last couple of months. They've controlled games very, very well under Laurent Blanc. They always have loads of possession, but they've been really poor at defending set pieces. And Leverkusen can counter-attack so quickly as well. So that's something that really poses a threat to PSG.